I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because you cared for me in such a special.
Can we just set the atmosphere and declare the love of Christ? Love you.
I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me in such a special way.
That's
I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Lord, I lift
your name on high.
And
I love to sing your praises.
I'm so glad
you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
Lord, I lift
your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises.
I'm so glad you came in.
I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
Somebody tell them
you came from heaven to earth, to show the way from the earth.
Yeah.
What have you turned into wine? You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Up out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like our God. Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Lord, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. He's awesome and power. Up out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like our God. Our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Lord, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer.
Power, our God, our God. God is greater. Our God is stronger. Lord, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power.
Thank God for our mothers. Amen. And I had a chance to get on the line with them Wednesday. We have the mothers, they lead the prayer on Wednesdays along with Deacon Norman. And we just thank God for them and all of them, that Mother Hattie, amen. We thank God for our mothers that are leading that prayer. And I'm telling y'all something. More than ever before, prayer is vital. It's vital for our families. It's vital for unsaved loved ones. Amen. It's vital, amen, for our country, for our cities, amen, and even the sick and the shut in, amen. And I thank God for my sister who's sitting in, near the back. Amen. I'm not going to call her name, but it's good to see her with us today. Amen. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to Romans chapter 10, we're back here again. Back here again. We were here last week. This will be part two of what we started out on last week. And guess what, y'all? I pray we have communion, and I pray to be obedient to the Spirit, that we can preach the word, hear what thus saith the Lord, and then get out the way. Romans 10, we read it already. But I'm going to read, change of plan. We did read this for responsive reading. This is our responsive reading. So we will start in Romans chapter 10. But I'm going to skip some verses. And then we're going to turn and look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, which is where Paul derived a lot of these verses from. But verse 1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they be ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted. They have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. And then verse 8 says, for what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and even in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Man, if you could hold your finger there, and let's turn all the way back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30, beginning at the seventh verse. The seventh verse says, "And the Lord thy God will put these curses on thine enemy and on them that hate you, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of God," because these curses were on them, right? Because of sin. And God is instructing them, if you turn unto me and obey my commandments, which means obey my word, amen, I will direct those curses on your enemies. And then verse 8 says, "And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments which I commanded thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he has rejoiced over thy fathers." And this is a key verse, verse 10. "And if thou shalt hearken," somebody say hearken. "Hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law. And if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shalt say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word," there's the same verse that Paul quoted, "but the word is nigh thee unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See that I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. And in the command thee, and I command thee this day to love the Lord." Somebody say, love the Lord. "Love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land wherever you go to possess it. But in thine heart turn away, so thou wilt not, but if thine in thy heart turn away and not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods, and worship other idols, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day." I feel like this is America. Amen. "This day ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to possess it." And this is what he said. He said, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. And thou mayest dwell in the land which he, the Lord, sware unto his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Amen. We're going to stop right there. Amen. We're going to talk about, again, the danger. The danger of religion without submission. Amen. The danger of religion without submission. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless and we praise your name. We thank you, oh God, when we look back over our lives and we see your hand of mercy and grace, even when we were going to make a mess of our own selves, where you delivered us even out of the hand of the enemy, where you brought us through time and time again. God, I stand before you today to declare and decree, I have no other recourse. I have no other recourse but to preach the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I came not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him being crucified. So God, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you all of the praise. Set your very atmosphere, set the atmosphere in this place. Oh God, set your presence, your power, your preeminence in this place. Speak to that place in our hearts that we're blocking from, that we're blocking from you. We know that you have an all-seeing eye. And you're able to see even the depths of what's really going on in us. So God, we avail ourselves unto you, that you may expose us unto us, that those places in us that we keep under lock and key, your word will get there, liberate us, and set us free. That's real joy, oh God. We can say with joy, we can draw water out of the wells of salvation. God, we love you. Ain't nobody like you. And can't nobody do us like you can. So God, we love you and we bless you for us in Jesus' name. For his sake we pray. Let everybody say amen. 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 Thank God for who he is. Somebody might say, well, man, what's wrong with him? I can't help myself. Amen. I can't sit down on this gospel. This word, I said it last week. Grandfather used to say, I'm dug up by the plowshares of the gospel. And y'all know we really have no other recourse but to preach what thus saith the Lord. And when he breaks our heart to speak to us as people of God or as preachers, amen, I'm just grateful that he spoke. Just to hear his voice. Just for hearing from him, and you can be all over. He said, no, this is where I want you, right here. And all we can do is submit and surrender to his will and preach what thus saith the Lord. Amen. And I thank God, amen, we talk about the danger of religion. Amen. Without submission. And how many know, you know, and one of the points that we're going to get to is this submission that he's talking about here is not a submission of drudgery. So when we say in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, but have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. And he lays it out, even in Deuteronomy, which is where Paul has taken this passage. Or part of this passage from. That's why I hold your finger in Deuteronomy, hold your finger in Romans chapter 10, because it's a love, this submission that God is talking about. It's not a submission of drudgery. It's not a ball and chain submission, right? It's not a submission of bondage and hard labor, amen, and do as I say. It's not a submission of just wrath. Don't get me wrong, God is a God of wrath, right? But he's also a God of love. And when he delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, amen, it was his love that he wanted them to know. Deuteronomy chapter 7 says this. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I think it's 7:7. Yep, 7:7. When we start with 6, he says, when he pulled them out, hallelujah, out of the bondage and the captivity of Pharaoh, and under the bondage and the affliction of the taskmasters, he said, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that thou art upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you or choose you because you were more in number. Matter of fact, y'all were least in number than any other people. For you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. And I'm telling y'all, you got to know that God loves you. He loves you. Amen. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much to send his only son. Amen. That he can say, I loved you as an everlasting love. With an everlasting love. I've drawn you unto myself. And so it's his love wherewith he saved us. It's his love wherewith he delivers us. Amen. It's his love. It's his love wherewith, even when we going and doing our own thing, that he'll put a brick wall that we can say, bow, hit our head, and the love draws us back. Amen. It's his love that corrects us. It's his love that puts us on the road called straight. It's his love. And we say it every week, and the Lord just brings me back. We've got to know this word and how much he loved us. Because he loved us, amen. And he set his love upon us. And he swore to your fathers of the Lord that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh the king. Amen. He loved us, y'all. And even in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10, we just read it. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord, and keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in the book, if thou wilt turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Amen. And in verse 16, he says, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments. Amen. And guess what? There's no submission without love. There's no submission without love. But when you are in love with the Lord, or you are in love with your spouse, amen, there's a submission and a surrender and a sacrifice that can take place, because it's not one because you're being forced. You ever see people that are forced to do something? Amen. They look right miserable, don't they? Amen. And thank God I ain't gonna pick on my wife or whatever, amen. But we talk about marriage and a wife and a husband. There ought to be a love. Y'all know we were in love with some things in the world, right? We were in love with some things in the world, and because we loved them things in the world, guess what? We were slaves to them things. We loved some things. I ain't gotta talk about the things, but we were in love with some alcohol. We were in love with some pills or the party or the clubs or addiction or whatever it was, and you became a slave to that thing. And really, it wasn't love, because you didn't get the same reciprocating love in return, but you were in bondage to whatever that was you were in. Amen? And guess what? Christ has come to liberate us from the things of the world. And the Bible says there's nothing in this world but the lust of the eye the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Satan had his hell under the bondage. He had his captive. Amen. He would say jump. We would say how high. Amen. We would go through walls to chase somebody that didn't even want us. Just because of addiction or habitual sin, or we thought we were in love, and they did not love us in return. Think about the love of Christ. You ain't got to worry about whether he loves you in return. Amen. He loves you. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and thy soul knows right well. Bible says even when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for you. He didn't wait for you to get it together. He didn't wait for you to get it in right. Amen. But he loved you. And there were some men or some women in your life that you thought loved you, but they were really in lust with you. Oh, it's going to be hard. And they would tell you, oh, I love you. I love you, boyfriend, girlfriend. I love you. And if that man or that woman don't know Jesus Christ, he really don't know what real love is all about. Amen? The song talk about, I know the song in the world talk about real love. But that's not real love. Guess what? The woman at the well, she met real love. I'm talking about real love. And that real love is Jesus Christ. That even when we were yet without strength, for the Bible says, for by grace are we saved. Through faith, not of ourselves. That Christ could stand there and look at her, see the hurt and the pain and the turmoil from all the husbands that she went through, amen? But still look at her. Feel her water pot on the inside. Feel the longing on the inside. Meet my need, meet your need, meet his need, meet our need. That's real love. And guess what? Real love didn't just come to take us to heaven. But real love came to meet us in the place where we are, to liberate us, to give us joy, to give us peace, not contingent upon what the world has to offer. $2 in my pocket. But when you know this love, guess what? You'll be running when nobody's chasing. You'll be clapping when ain't nothing clap to clap about. Amen. When you know this love of Jesus, amen, he will satisfy the longing soul. And guess what? You won't mind submitting yourself to the Lord. And in our focal text, Romans chapter 10, verse 3, for when they were ignorant of God's righteousness, they went about to establish their own righteousness. They had not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. And guess what, y'all? As a country, we have not submitted. We've not submitted. And it's time. The Bible says in Isaiah, God says it's not that my arms are too short that I can't reach you. Or my eyes are too dull that I can't see you. But he says your sins have separated you from my love, have separated you from my presence. Amen. And guess what? I know we hear it all the time, but it's true. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, turn, seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, forgive them of their sin, and I will heal their land. We need healing. Y'all know that. We need healing. And the only one that can bring healing to this land is Jesus Christ. And listen, they were ignorant of God's righteousness. And that ignorant wasn't because they didn't know, but they didn't want to know. Amen? But their ignorance stemmed from willful, stubborn resistance to the truth. And guess what? They had the scriptures like us. Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges and the prophets that prophesied about the coming of Jesus Christ like Isaiah. They saw and they heard and they read about the Passover lamb which they celebrated at Passover. The Passover was about Jesus Christ, the scapegoat, and the Lamb of God. The scapegoat, the priest would transfer the sins on the scapegoat and hit him. Bow. Scapegoat would run out into the wilderness. Amen. And that signified the one that would carry away our sins. So they knew about this Jesus. They knew about him. But they ignorantly rejected. And they went about to establish their own religion without Jesus Christ. They knew about all these things, but they still rejected. Romans 10:4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law, for the righteousness to everyone that believes." Amen? But what they did was, just like Romans 1:18, they held the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 1:19 says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and the Godhead." So they, all those people that reject, and guess what? If you're watching online, John the Baptist preached the message of repentance, that we may turn, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn from your wicked ways. America, we need to turn. And guess what, y'all? It's time out. In pulpits across America saying we're okay, like in the book of Jeremiah, telling the people what they want to hear. People want puppet preachers and want to preach to the tickling of the fancying of your souls, saying you're not okay. Y'all, we need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to get right with God. And do it now. Get right with God. Let me show you how. Down at the cross, where he shed his blood. Get right with God. Amen. Guess what? You can't pay me. You can't puppet me to preach to preach anything else. But the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ. And guess what? What we want to do, we want to step over. That I've got to give up something. Because they didn't want to give up their lifestyles. They wanted to go someplace where they could just be comfortable. And shout. And not be convicted to the sin in their heart. Amen. So what they did, they stepped over the gospel message. Amen. And they still shouted and praised God and had a good time any old how. Amen. This is where America is, y'all. When God has made it clear to you that you willingly choose to disobey and you are in a state of rebellion. Amen. And if you do not know at the time the wrong was done, and it, for real ignorance, where you just didn't know, that's one thing. But once you've been warned of your sin, once you've been warned of all the stuff and the chaos, and man, just a political, satanic divide that's going on in this country. The murder rate off the charts. Depression and suicide off the chart. And when you can see all these things, and when they can stand and Noah preached, even while the water was coming down, and they still ridiculed him, and they mocked him, and they rejected him. Amen. We've got to turn, y'all. We've got to turn to Jesus. We got to live, amen, and we've got to give our hearts to Jesus Christ. And it's one thing if you don't know, but now you know. And the opportunity to know the truth through correction, God trying to correct you, God's trying to convict you, but in your pride, you choose not to repent, but cling to your wrong and stick your foot down in the sand and say, I'm not moving. Yeah, I know what the Bible says, Rev. I hear you up there, but guess what? You don't know what I've been through, so I'm going to hang on to the sin in my heart. Amen? I'm going to hang on to this rebellious nature in my heart. I'm going to hang on to not speaking to people. I'm going to hang on to acting one way in the church, but going out in the way, if somebody cut me off, I can curse them out just like everybody else. I'm going to hang on. I want to be able to go to the club and sit on that bar stool and drink with that other person. I want to be able to reserve the right to do what I want to do. Well, I got news for you. You might not be saved. Amen. And like the child that refuses to obey, the parent gets angry because the child, you always see a child in the grocery store. Mom tells them to stop. Right? Y'all ain't got no children like that, do y'all? And they just fall out on the floor and they just cut up. And y'all know what that parent does? That parent gets mad. Amen? That parent gets upset. And I used to hear my father say, man, that child's will, he used to say, that child's will needs to be broken. Right, Tracy? And the only thing that will break that child's will sometime is a BELT. And the BELT is not a sandwich. Amen. But the Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. Listen to Romans 1:18. Romans 1:18 says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness and men that hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, God showed it in them. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Amen? And the Bible says in verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burning their lusts one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate. That means a debased mind to do those things which are not convenient. Amen. God gave them over. Amen. And that's a place you don't want to be. Y'all, we've got to be in a place of submission. I already talked about it. The first point that I have is, it's a submission of love. And guess what, y'all? We talk about different things, addictions and people on drugs and homosexuality. Guess what, y'all? Man, it's the love. It's our love. Don't get me wrong. We're going to preach truth. But guess what? I can get down out this pulpit and I can hug somebody and love them, that they know you love them for real. I ain't got to beat them up over what they're into. Talk about Adam and Eve and Adam and Steve and all that stuff. But I can stand on scripture and love them. Amen. The Bible says, for love covers a multitude of sin. And too many times the church is at one extreme. Either we accept them and bring them and make them musicians, put them in the choir and all this stuff, or we beat them up. We drive them out of the church. But it's the, guess what? It's the love that drew me. And guess what? It's the love that drew you. And guess what? It's the love that's going to draw, amen, a man out of a gay lifestyle. It's the love of Jesus Christ that drew the prodigal son out of the pig pen. Amen. Where the father, he didn't come home. And there's some people, man, their son messed up and went out, or their daughter messed up and went out. Right? And you said, she better not ever come back here. My father was dealing with a man one time. Amen. Another father. And he told the man, he told my father, he better not ever come back here. Amen. But guess what? What about what you did? What about where you were at? And the same, we get in the church and clean ourselves up and think we all good. And we got the nerve to turn down our nose and look at somebody else down in the gutter. Amen. We got the nerves to say, look at what she got on. And look at where he is. Guess what? The same love that picked you up out of the muck and the miry clay has to be the same love that we have. Don't turn your back on your children. I don't care how far they went. But guess what? The Bible says in that pig pen, the prodigal son, he came to himself. He submitted to the love of Jesus Christ. And guess what, church? That love brought him back. It's the love of Jesus Christ that ought to bring him back. And the Bible says when he was afar off, hallelujah, the father saw the son from a distance. He didn't do this and turn his back on the son. But he said, come on, son. Guess what, y'all? God is speaking. He loves you with an everlasting love to bring you back. I don't know who I'm speaking to when all the chips are down and you don't know where else to turn. You've got to know he loves you. What manner of love is this? That God will call us the sons. He will call you daughters. It does not matter. It does not yet appear what we're going to be. But we know when we see him, we're going to be like him. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love endureth all. Love is able to get there. Love is able to reach you. Love is able to save you. It's love. Guess what, y'all? We've got to be broken to that love. That you can look at somebody on your job. Because the word has been hidden in your heart. That you can look into their eyes and see the hurt and the pain and be able to look that child in the eyes and let them know about Jesus Christ. There's a difference. We talk about just words, just saying words, but more than saying words, where you can feel, hallelujah, where that person was. Thank God for Mother Bussy, amen. Guess what? Even at 6 and 7 years old, I knew the difference. So many of our mothers and people that loved on us, amen. And you know the difference. And so when you're loved, that's the first point, you won't mind submitting. Submission is of love. Amen. This submission is of love. Amen. Over 22 times in the Bible, the words appear, keep my commandments. John 14, he says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Amen. And my Father and I will make our abode. Guess what? When you're in love, you won't mind submitting. When you're in love, you won't mind working for the Lord. When you're in love, we have this cleanup in 2 weeks. I'm going to see how many people show up. Amen. You won't be looking around. Well, only 3 people showed up. It don't matter. Somebody say, it don't matter. Somebody say, I love Jesus. And I'm compelled to go. Amen. Paul says in Romans, for how does it go? For the love of Christ constrains me. And we thus judge that if Christ would die for one, what? We're all dead. I'm dead.
to what I think. Guess what? We ripped and we ran and we gave our life for so many things in the world. Y'all know that? We hung with every time, David and Harry. We ran with everybody, amen. We took on causes and things, amen. We were just crazy. We were crazy about Tyrone. Amen. But now that you know this love, that Christ would die for you, that he would look past your faults and see my sin, but still love me and die for me. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I and the Father will make our submission, will make our abode with you. Amen. Also, the second point that I have is submission to the word. It's our submission to the word that brings true deliverance. Amen? It's our submission to the word that brings true deliverance. Bible says in verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law, for the righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses described the righteousness of the law, that the man that doeth, somebody say doeth, doeth these things, submitting to the word, shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall tangibly ascend into heaven? That is, who to bring Christ down. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word, hallelujah, is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and even in thy heart. And it's the word of faith that we preach. Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book. He said, it's written of me to do thy will. Amen. That's why the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. And if his law doeth thee what? Meditate day and night. Meditate day and night. Also in Joshua chapter 1. Right? Because listen, Deuteronomy chapter 30, which we just read, amen, was Moses giving them instruction to obey the voice of God. And in Joshua chapter 1, he said, now Moses, your servant, is dead. And then verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Somebody say meditate. How? Therein, what? Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Amen? That's the word. That's hiding the word. That's the Logos word, the embodiment of the word, getting in the word. Wednesday night Bible study. First of all, personally. You can't do it personally. That's first. We got Wednesday night Bible study. We got the women's class. We got the men's class. Now we got praying through Corinthians. We just crazy about the word. Hey, and that's all right. But when we take on the word, when we get in the word, it's like your environment, your person becomes conducive to the word. And then the word, what it does, because you've got it on the inside. And when the Bible says in Psalms 119, how can a young man cleanse his heart? By taking what? Heed to the word of God. And when you bring around somebody, y'all ever see somebody that hung out with the person a whole long time? That you'll hear them say the same things? They'll say some of the same things. There's a guy that can mimic me down to the teeth. He mimics Marlon too. I ain't going to say his name. He preaches here sometimes. And he'd be like, man, look, man, the word, man. Amen. And even my son, he can mimic me, amen. Because you've been around that person so long. Even when I talk about God, we try to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Amen. You start talking like one, and I heard Quincy be saying, man, too. Amen. But that's how it is with the word. Man, I've been in this world so long. God sent somebody for you to witness to. You on your job, minding your business. Next thing you know, you see them. You lock eyes and you're able to meet them in that place. And you give them a scripture, you know, just hold on. God is your refuge and strength. Guess what? He will help you in your time. You'll be like, man, where did that verse come from? Yeah. Oh, Lord. Anybody, I hope somebody's been there. Amen. That God gave you a verse and you didn't even know where that verse came from. And even if he don't give you the verse, but the word is hidden in your heart that it exudes from your pores. You hang around somebody that's been eating garlic. Man, and garlic will come through your pores. That's how the word does. Amen? So when the Bible says in Hebrews, Psalms 119, how can a young man cleanse his way? The word way in the Greek means orak, which means a track or a rut made by a wheel or a car. Right? And those ruts stay there. The Bible talks about, it's the word of God in Ephesians chapter 5 that must cleanse the sin out of our lives. And guess what, y'all? When we have church on the surface, when we, like in Romans 10, they were making this thing up as they went. Having a form of godliness. But what? Somebody say deny. Denying the power thereof. Being able to shout in the church. But there's no change in their life. There's no evidence that they even know Jesus Christ. But guess what? You can get in the hat club, in the missionary club, in the... And do all these other things, and there's no evidence of Christ. Guess what, y'all? I've been in the church. Oh, I was born in the church. We were born in the church. And guess what? If I can't see a change in my life, can you see a change in your life? Man, I had a meeting with the trustees in the back about the word. I'm just crazy. Amen. I said, you ain't got to be a preacher. I said, if somebody falls out in that lobby back there or on the steps, the trustees ought to be able to lead somebody to Jesus. The van driver ought to be able to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. The choir member ought to be able. It's not about you coming and looking at me and just hearing the preaching. Some people work with special needs children. Special needs adults. Guess what? You're in a place. We're all in a place where somebody needs to see Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad I don't carry a Bible around with in my job. Y'all know why? Because I'm like Jeremiah. The word is like fire on the inside. Amen. Even when people don't like it. Guess what? Man, your love will look at them and meet them in that place. Because it's the word of God that does it. And so these wheels, these tracks, these grooves in our lives, that were molds that were made by Satan. The molds of rejection, you were rejected in the home. Or the mold of bondage. The mold of fear, low self-esteem. The mold of lust and sensuality. The mold of addiction, the mold of unforgiveness. We could come in the church and just hold on to stuff. Man, somebody looking at me like I'm crazy. Amen. How in the world can we be in there? I thank God. Amen. We got some people in here that love the Lord. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. So everybody, I ain't talking about everybody. Amen. But these molds can only be cleansed by the word of God. Amen. That's what they have to be cleansed. And it's the word of God that we submit when he says the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. The word of faith that we preach. There's a place. This verse, I'm almost done. The word is nigh thee. That's not just for salvation, but it's also for my deliverance. And I heard Minister Tober say one time, if God could hook my heart up to the television screen and show everybody what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling, I'd be like, man, I don't know. Run out of here. Or if God could take your heart and hook it up on that television and show you the errors of your life where you're still holding on to sin, the places in your heart that you've not fully surrendered to the Lord, the word is nigh thee. When God speaks to you, guess what? That word's got to get there. The word is quick, sharp, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, rightly dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the intents of my heart. I say, y'all, listen, the greatest times of shouting, hallelujah, and praise in my life ain't in this church. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus and the fact that he would deliver me from the ways I used to be, from the ruts that I used to have in my life, to know that he didn't leave me over to be a mess, but that his word will come and knock on the door of my heart, even after salvation, and show me the mess, show you the gossiping tongue, show you the fear, show you the insecurity, show you whatever it is that you're doing. You can't step over that word, but it must be applied to your heart that you can submit and surrender that thing over to Jesus Christ. We've got to submit it. We've got to surrender it. And I'm telling you, man, I'm just going to say, I ain't going to get all crazy, but man, you don't know deliverance. You don't know joy. Man, you don't know peace until God is pinpointed to show me that heart. See, that's what the Romans, that's what the Judaizers, they didn't want that, y'all. They did not want to submit to the voice of Jesus Christ. And the last point that I have is submitting to the word wins the spiritual battle. Amen. We ain't got to turn there. But over and over again, I believe it's in Matthew 4, when Satan came to tempt Jesus Christ, right? He said, it is written. He could have said, I'm Jesus Christ. But he said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And over again, when the devil tried to come back, even screw up or misinterpret scripture, he knew what he was doing. Christ stood on the word of God. Amen? Listen, and when the word knocks on your heart, King Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. You know why? After he heard Paul talk about Jesus, man, that word was right there. And when the word shows you the mirror and it's right there, are you going to let, ask yourself, are you going to let it in? Pharaoh had a chance to repent before God hardened his heart. And he was right there, but he refused to let him in. Amen? When the word is right there, don't reject it. You've got to let the word in and say, oops, God, that's me. You're right, and I'm wrong. Amen? Amen. Me and my wife had an opportunity to go up my son and my daughter, we went way up to Cooperstown, New York, way upstate. And just about every couple yards, you talk about this political divide. Y'all, it's satanic. They just call it what it is. And I'm not here to talk about Democrats or the Republicans in my clothes. Amen? But guess what, y'all? To see some of these signs, offensive, fighting words. Let's go, Brandon. Amen. There's a meaning behind that. You see people riding with pickup trucks, with Dixie flags, Confederate flags, and they have, I'm not even going to say the man's name. You see this stuff. But when we hide the word in our heart, what man is going to win? The man you feed. Because what the devil wants to do in conversations, even in the high school, they're Republican clubs and stuff, and people insightful with words and stuff and trying to cause further divide through politics. Amen. And guess what? The old man is ready, waiting. And the devil, I've seen it, and God showed me, the devil wants to pull the old man out and say, let me handle this, brother. Let me tell him something. But y'all, we can't. That's not the fight. The Bible says we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. But against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness where? In high places. He says, take unto you the whole armor of God. Have your loins strapped with the belt. Take on the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That when these attacks come, they're attacks. Fiery flames. Guess what? We can say, it is written. It is written. And I'm telling you, when you can hold your peace and love the Lord, fight your battle. Guess what? He will make his your enemies your footstool. I'm a witness. Amen. You ain't got to fight this battle. We're fighting a fixed fight. Ephesians 1, 20, 21 tells us that Jesus is enthroned in heaven. He's far above all principality and powers. Colossians 1, 16 says Jesus created principalities and powers. Colossians 2 and 10 tells us that Jesus is the head of all principalities and power. Amen. And I thank God for that one. Because the Bible says here in Colossians, amen. Chapter 1. It says, Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him, all things consist. Y'all know, see it, Satan is a created foe. Whether it's principalities, whether powers, dominions, rulers, visible, invisible, in heaven or earth, Christ, everything is subject to him. We're fighting a fixed fight. Amen. But we have to submit ourselves to the word of God that we may hide this word into our hearts. Let's give God a hand clap of praise in this place. Man, look, and I see stuff, man. I see stuff. I be like, Jesus, that just ain't fair. It just ain't right. When you look at the news, some things just ain't right. But the Bible says, the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. We've got to give these things over to Jesus. Amen. And let him fight these battles for us. And it all starts, y'all,
with submitting ourselves, amen, to this word of God. As we stand to our feet, if there's somebody in this place, and you do not know this love, and just like when we said the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith that we preach, and there's some things in your heart that you've not submitted and given to Jesus Christ, you can come. Amen. First of all, you can come to accept Jesus Christ into your heart. If there's somebody in here and you don't know Christ in the pardon of your sins, you can come and give your heart to Jesus Christ. Amen. If there's somebody that would like to come for restoration, amen, you can also come and give your life to Jesus, man, to be restored to the Lord. Amen. Song says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. To the depth of my soul. Yes. One more time.
From the bottom, to the depths, I love you. I love you. I love you from the bottom of my to the depths. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths, my soul says, yes, Lord. Completely, yes. Love the Lord. I love you. I love you. I love you. From the bottom of my heart to the I love you. I really do. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.